Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I know you missed me last week. If you didn't miss me last week, I missed being here. Well, yeah, last week was one of those weeks in which we were trying to get a number of things done and we were unable to broadcast. So for those of you that tuned in last week for the Dr. Hank Show and didn't hear the Dr. Hank Show, well, I apologize for that. We just ran into a time crunch and we're unable to broadcast. But we're back on schedule now, and we shouldn't be missing any other dates. And if we are going to miss a date, we'll tell you in advance so you won't tune in and patiently wait for us to come on and you just receive dead air. So, again, I apologize for not being on last week. We just had too many things. As we say, we had too many irons in the fire. We had too many cooks in the kitchen cooking soup or whatever, however those things go. But let me just say good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Dr. Hank Show. Now, today's show is an open mic show. Now, while there'll be things that I'm going to bring up and discuss and talk about, but I want to hear from you too. I want to hear what's on your mind. And the best way to share what's on your mind, so give us a call at 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. Now, when I say to share what's on your mind, well, you know what we're talking about. This show is about emotional intelligence. Or things related to emotional intelligence. And I always say related to emotional intelligence because sometimes people say, well, now everything can't be about emotional intelligence. And I say, well, I haven't seen anything yet that can't be related to emotional intelligence, which is the title of my new book, EQ is for Everyone. So that will be one of the topics that we'll share and we'll talk about today. I just want to share some excerpts from the book, some of the thoughts that I had in mind when I wrote the book, because EQ is for everyone. And when you hear the term EQ or the word EQ or the letters EQ, we're talking about emotional intelligence. Now, I know in general, when we say EQ, it really means emotional quotient. Emotional quotient. Much like when you say IQ, you mean intellectual quotient. And it's a numerical value of someone's capacity to think logically, to plan, to compute, IQ that is. So when we talk about EQ, we're talking about someone's ability to recognize and understand their emotions. But EQ itself is just the numerical value that someone gets when they take a test or some sort of assessment that is designed to give you a numerical value of where your EQ is. For instance, if you took an EQ test and zero meant you had absolutely no emotional intelligence, or 100, which meant that you was as high as you could possibly be, you would get a score that says 0 to 100, which would mean that somewhere in that range would be your level or your numerical value of EQ. Now, it would not mean, of course, it would not mean how well or how developed your EQ is. That's a whole different issue, a whole different story when I say how well developed. Because you can have a high score, but it doesn't mean that you actively use the skills of emotional intelligence. Yes, you heard me. You heard me correctly. Emotional intelligence is a skill because it's something that you can learn. If you don't know how to do it or you don't do it well, you can learn to do it better. So just like, and I always use the example of riding a skateboard. You may not have good skateboarding skills, but if you practice, you become better at it. Same with emotional intelligence. Driving a car, same thing. Most of us, when we were young, we took driver's ed. Why? So that we could learn to drive a car or a vehicle the correct way and apply the, quote, rules of the roads to driving. We know that once we learned to drive, we started taking shortcuts or doing things differently. And over time, our driving, our actual driving, may not reflect what we learn at all. So we can have a high score on the driver's ed test, but when it comes to actually driving or demonstrating the skills, we don't do that very well. For instance, we might wind up speeding, which is not a part of doing driving the correct way. Or we may make improper lane changes, which is not using our driving skills correctly or effectively. We may follow vehicles too closely. So there could be a number of things that indicates that we don't do it well, even though we had a high score. Now, I mentioned that in my book, EQ is for Everyone. I mentioned that in the book, EQ is for Everyone. I give the example of someone going down to the Department of Motor Vehicle and taking a driver's test and scoring really high, and then later on being stopped by a state trooper for not obeying the rules of the road, but yet exclaiming to the state trooper, "Hey, I got a high score on my emotional intelligence or my driver's test." And the state trooper is more likely than not to say, "I know, sir," or "I know, ma'am." However, the score does not show that you are demonstrating the skills. So, long story made short, when we talk about EQ, we're talking emotional quotient. And when we talk about EI, we are talking about the application. Now, you're probably asking the question, if that is indeed the case, then why didn't you say EI is for everyone? Well, good question. Very good question. I did not say EI is for everyone because EI is not known as well and is not as clearly understood as EQ. EQ being the word that we use to talk about emotional intelligence, whether we're talking about the score or whether we're talking about the application. Just like we use the term Xerox. We often use the term Xerox. Hey, can you Xerox me a copy of this? Can you Xerox me a copy of that? Well, often all we're talking about is making a copy of a document, but we use the term Xerox because Xerox were one of the companies that popularized and made the machines that often people use to make copies of things. Okay? So we use one word to describe what it is that we do rather than describe the object itself. So just, tissue, similar. We often say, "Can you give me a Kleenex?" Well, we really mean, "Can you give me a tissue?" Okay? Or something similar. we often use terms to describe what it is that we want rather than the actual item itself. Anyway, moving right along. So today is open mic, and we're going to be talking about, or I'm going to be putting things out there for you to respond to, whether you call to respond to them, or you can send me an email to respond to them. If you're going to send me an email, the best email to use is drhankshow@gmail.com. The drhankshow@gmail.com. Just send me the email and I'll pull it up and I'll get back to you. And if you want to be live on the air with me, which is what I prefer, then just give me a call at 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. So, I mentioned talking about EQ is for Everyone, my new book. That's one of the topics for today. Another topic that is near and dear and is actually coming up in about 2 weeks, well, maybe a little bit more in 2 weeks, and that is the Society of Emotional Intelligence is having its very, very first webinar conference, and it's scheduled for October 19th. And the only way that you get it is that you have to go online, go to societyofei.org, go to the conference page, and it will have the registration for the webinar conference. Now, when I say webinar conference, most of the time when you are going to look at or listen to or subscribe to a webinar, that's all you're getting, one webinar. But the Society of Emotional Intelligence is going much further because it's trying to provide a service to its members and also its yet-to-be members. So instead of one webinar around emotional intelligence, we're offering three. You heard me correctly. We're offering three webinars around emotional intelligence, and they're going to be back to back to back. So you can register for all three at the same time, and it's only $79. $79 for all three. Now, you can't beat that. You can't beat that with a baton on a bass drum or drumsticks on a snare drum. You just can't beat it. Okay? Three webinars for $79. I know they told us you're out of your mind for offering three webinars for $79. You should be charging $79 for each webinar. But we said, no, no way. We are a nonprofit and we are member driven and we want people to not only utilize the skills of emotional intelligence, but to be able to share those with others and then get them into using their emotional intelligence skills. So we're about growth and development of the concept called emotional intelligence. So in order to do that, we have three experts in the field, three experts, not just one person presenting three webinars. We have three individuals presenting three webinars from three different perspectives. So the title of the webinar conference is Emotional Intelligence Through Three Lenses. And we thought that was a really, really good way to do that, because sometimes when people hear about emotional intelligence, they're only thinking about it from one perspective, you know, and that is self-awareness. And that if they got that self-awareness thing down, then they are emotionally intelligent. Well, it's much, much, much larger than that. And so these three webinars are designed to kind of talk a little bit about that and present some information that I'm sure you'll find very useful as well as educational. So the three experts that we're going to have, one is Dr. Lynn Davidson from NYU. She also chairs our New York chapter of the Society of Emotional Intelligence. We also have Shanae Marsh Beckford, PhD. Dr. Beckford is also a chapter chair down in South Florida. And South Florida, by the way, is one of our newer chapters. So just wanted to share that with you. So I wanted to give a shout out to Dr. Bedford on that. And then our third webinar is going to be presented by Matt Perlstein. And if you haven't heard Matt, he's been on the show many a times, and he's been called the EQ doctor, or the doctor of emotional intelligence, or some term like that, the EQ doctor, or Dr. EQ. But anyway, he's going to be the third presenter, okay? So one is be on at 11, one will be on at 12, the other will be on at 1 Eastern Standard Time. And the way you get them, you go to the website, register societyofei.org, and as you scroll down, you'll go to these three webinars, and you'll see that there's one registration. Now, you don't have to attend all three. You can say, I only want to tune in for the one that happens at 1 p.m., okay? And then you can tune in at 1 p.m., and you can hear Matt talk about his particular topic. Or you say, hey, I only want to hear Dr. Davidson. You can tune in and hear only Dr. Davidson. Or you may say, I want to hear Dr. Davidson, and I want to hear Dr. Bedford. So those are the two that you tune in for. So you have some options. You have some choices. But you only pay one fee. One fee. $79 for all three. Now, I'll be back here shortly, and I'll tell you a little bit more about those, because those are coming up here fairly quickly, and I'd like for us to have a full house now. When I say a full house, we're limited to the number of people that we can have in the webinar as participants. We're limited to the number of people that we can have attend. So if you wait, you may wait too late. So please don't wait. Just take this opportunity to go online and sign up for those webinars. So the other thing that I was going to mention, and that is just a little bit deeper into the book, my new book, EQ is for Everyone, and that is how to look at some aspects of emotional intelligence and how they can benefit you, okay? And one of the ones that we're going to look at during this discussion today is around decision making, okay? So that is two big topics. There may be a third, you know. If there is a third, I'll bring that one into you also. But for sure, there's going to be two. And that is EQ is for Everyone, the book, and about these three webinars that's coming up. Oh, I just want to mention something that's going on at one of our chapters. Our chapter in Chicago, they're going to have their third year anniversary coming up pretty soon. So if you're in the Chicago area, you might want to see what's involved in all of that. And hopefully we can have the chair of that chapter come on in the weeks ahead to talk about, you know, what's going to be going on. But let's get right into talking about my book. You know, we could be talking about the webinar first, but I thought I'd talk about the book and what was the purpose for the book and why did I write it and so forth and so on. Well, this isn't the first book that I've written around emotional intelligence. First of all, I've written two others. Actually, I've written three others. The first one was titled Applying Emotional Intelligence from Mailroom to Boardroom. That was my first book, and I have to admit, I thought that was going to be the one that would really get everyone's attention, because it was about how one can apply emotional intelligence regardless to what position or job they're in or what level in the organization they're in. But unfortunately, I think readers were not ready, or let's say the time was not right for that one. And while it did sell, people read it, it didn't get the kind of response that I thought it would, applying emotional intelligence from mailroom to boardroom. So after a few years, I went back and I said, well, there's got to be one that really gets people's attention as it relates to emotional intelligence. So the next book that I did was titled, Could Your Emotional Intelligence Be Holding You Back? Could Your Emotional Intelligence Be Holding You Back? Now, that one received quite a bit of attention because people were getting more accustomed to this concept of emotional intelligence. So they said, let's see, could your emotional intelligence be holding you back? How could my emotional intelligence be holding me back? So I gave him an example in the book of a person who was on an airplane, and we were having a discussion, and he was talking about how he saw himself one way, his boss saw himself another way, and that essentially his boss did not have a clue about who he was and his skills and things like that. Well, that's a classic example of how an individual's emotional intelligence could be holding them back. Now, stay with me, because what we're saying is because that person had a lack of self-awareness, because they had a lack of understanding their strengths and their skills, they thought they were, let's say, doing things really, really well from their perspective, from inside their head. That's how they saw it. However, their boss saw it differently. So if they're going to be considered for a promotion, whose point of view is more important? Now, stay with me, because all I'm saying is if they're going to be considered for a promotion, whose point of view is more important? Well, I think we would probably all say his boss's point of view would be more important for him to get promoted anyway, because his boss has got to be the one to sell his employee to his next level, to his boss, or to whoever, you know, is a part of that decision-making group, okay? So the boss's perception of you, or of the individual in this case, is more important than the individual's perception of himself. However, the individual didn't see that from where they were. They only saw how ineffective he thought the boss was about not recognizing his skills and abilities and so forth and so on. But because this person lacks self-awareness, because they lack the ability to assess themselves, to be able to be reflective, their emotional intelligence or lack of or low level of emotional intelligence is what was holding them back, or could be holding them back, okay? And so in that book, I gave some other examples how one's emotional intelligence could be holding them back. And people saw that and they go, yes, I got it, I understand, that makes sense, okay? So then the third book that I had done around emotional intelligence was titled 21 Ways to Improve Your Emotional Intelligence. And the reason for that one was because I said, now that people know that their emotional intelligence is holding them back and they want to do something about it, you know, they want to improve their emotional intelligence, how can they do that? I mean, it's not easy to just say, okay, my self-awareness is low, so I'm going to raise my self-awareness and I'll be okay. Well, no. It's not that easy. It takes work. It requires some input from not only from self, but input from others. And in most cases, it's going to require this individual to take an assessment of some sort so that he can get some feedback. Okay? So he's going to take an assessment to find out his current level or to act as a gate or a starting point to understand his level of emotional intelligence, then he's got to find really a valid instrument to help him do that. Now, I use the term valid, and I'm only using the term valid for the standpoint of it's got to be one that has been researched and found to really do what it is supposed to do. And that is, if it's going to tell me about my level or how well I use this skill, then it needs to have gone through and been tested and used by a number of people and have been, you know, well, all the wrinkles have been ironed out, as we say. So in order to find that, you know, an individual needs to go online and or talk to some people, but they can come across it. There are a lot of valid assessment tools out there. The one that I use, often people ask me, so what do you use? The one that I use most often, the one that I use most often is called the EQI 2.0. EQI 2.0. And that one is developed and published by a company called MHS out of Toronto, Canada. Now, they've been around a long time. And actually, that tool itself was developed by Ruben Baron. And so it was called the Baron in the early days. Then it was called the EQI, and now it's called the EQI 2.0. But that one was developed, you know, back in the mid-80s. So you can see it's been around a long time. And they constantly update. As a matter of fact, they have it on a schedule where it's updated every 10 years. So it falls right in line with the census. So every time the census is taken, bam, the EQI 2.0 gets updated. So it's reflective of whoever is new and in the workplace. It's not something that, you know, has been around for 30 years. And when you read it, you know that it's been around for 30 years. No. This one has or uses current terminology so that it can appeal to the current generations that's in the workplace. Okay? So I don't mean to belabor this, but I just wanted to point out the fact that just because someone says, okay, I now want to improve my emotional intelligence, that they're just going to go out and do it in a 24-hour or 48-hour time frame. If someone can do that, okay, but it's rare. Most of the time, it's going to take them anywhere from 3 to 6 months to begin to see a change in their behavior or a change in the way that they're doing things, okay? So when I did 21 ways to improve your emotional intelligence, that was to act as a companion to could your emotional intelligence be holding you back. In other words, now that you've identified an area that you want to strengthen, what are some activities that you can do to strengthen those areas? Now, I have to say this, it's not going to have every possible thing that one can do. In other words, for those of you who are familiar with Swiss Army knives, okay, you can get a Swiss Army knife that has maybe 5 blades in it. Or you can get a Swiss Army knife that has 10 blades in it. Or you can get a Swiss Army knife that may have 20 blades in it, okay? So the idea is sometimes you may get just a tool that's going to serve you well for that one thing that you might want to do. However, if there are multiple things that you might want to deal with, you might need multiple tools or a tool that has multiple applications, okay? So within this book, 21 Ways to Improve Your Emotional Intelligence, it is a tool that offers multiple applications for a person to enhance some aspect of their emotional intelligence, whether it's empathy or whether it's impulse control or whether it's self-awareness or whether it's optimism, there are some activities that one can do to strengthen those areas. So that tells you a little bit about the third book. Well, I still wasn't satisfied. I still thought there was something that was missing out there around publications and emotional intelligence. So I went back and I thought some more and I said, got it. So the next book that I came up with, the current book, is called EQ is for Everyone. Now, why EQ is for Everyone? Well, more often than not, you come across, you know, information that is talking about emotional intelligence, and they talked about emotional intelligence and leadership. Emotional intelligence and leaders. Or to be a better leader, you need emotional intelligence. Well, I'm not going to dispute any of that because all of that is true from the standpoint of you can be a better leader if you use emotional intelligence skills. But the thing is, emotional intelligence is not, it's not just for leaders. It's for everyone. So if you're not a leader, that's okay. You can still use your emotional intelligence skill. If you are a team member of an intact team or a work group, you still have an opportunity to use your emotional intelligence. If you are an independent contributor, let's say a one-person business, or the only person that works in accounting, or the only engineer in the firm, you still have an opportunity to use your emotional intelligence. Because emotional intelligence in and of itself is a series of things that you can apply to your day-to-day activities and interactions with others. And if not with others, with self. You have to excuse me a minute because I had to get a sip of my coffee. I'm one of those coffee drinkers, and I can drink coffee midday or 6 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the evening. You know, a good cup of coffee just sort of hits the spots for me. So every once in a while, I'll pause and I'll take a sip of coffee. Hopefully you can handle that. Okay. So that gives you an idea of why I did the fourth book, EQ is for Everyone, because I wanted people to know that you don't have to be a leader to use emotional intelligence. You can use emotional intelligence wherever you are and whatever you do. Okay. And in the book, I give some examples of some occupations in which people are in which they can or do apply emotional intelligence, whether it's sales or whether it's military or whether it's banking. I mean, just, you know, a number of different applications. Okay. We also talked a bit in the book about, you know, some examples of emotional intelligence in action, if you will. Okay. Because not only do I want people to recognize that emotional intelligence is something that everyone can use, I want you to see how it's being used. In addition to that, I had said that since emotional intelligence is one of those things that often companies want to implement, but they kind of don't know how it's going to help them, I thought it would be an important one to give an example. Now, I did not include this one in the book, and so when I update it, I'll expand on what's in the book. And I'm going to include this one. And this one is around decision making. Now, often when companies or organizations are thinking about emotional intelligence, you know, they say, well, you know, that's that HR stuff. That is often going to fall in the laps of HR. And it's all about that touchy-feely stuff, or it's all about how to be warm and fuzzy. Those are some of the things that you hear. Well, no way. No way. Because some companies say, you know, if you can't show me how this is going to have an impact on the bottom line, then I'm not interested. If you can't show me how it's going to have an impact on the bottom line, I'm not interested. So if I go to them and I say something like, Do you make decisions in your organization? More likely, they're going to say yes. And I'm going to say, have all the decisions that you've been making been right on target? They're more likely to say no. So I then ask the question, if you had a better opportunity to make better decisions, would you use it? More likely than not, they're going to say yes. That's where we start looking at and talking about decision and decision making. So quick questions to you listeners out there. I know you're listening. I can hear, you know, as you're getting really, really quiet because you know what's coming. So if I ask you the question, how many decisions do we make each day? How many decisions do we make each day? Now, some of you may say, well, probably around 300 or 400. Others may say, well, we probably make about 1,000 or so. Others may say, nah, we make a heck of a lot more than that, probably around 5,000. Still others of you may say, oh, no. We make probably around 10,000 decisions a day. Well, there's no exact number of decisions that we make a day, but if I say that we make upwards of 35,000 decisions each day, the question would be, would you believe it? Well, the answer is yes. We make upwards of 35,000 decisions each and every day. Now, granted, they're not all, you know, earth-shattering decisions. They're not all life and death decisions. They may be decisions like, what shoes should I wear today? What pants should I wear today? What dress should I wear today? You know, what vehicle should I drive today? Should I brush my teeth with Colgate or should I use some other toothpaste? Should I eat breakfast now or grab something on the way in? Should I sleep in a little bit longer and hit the snooze button or should I get up right now? In other words, we start making decisions from the time that we wake up in the morning until, you know, we go to bed at night. Some kind of a decision happens about every 40 seconds or so. In order to get up to 35,000, we must make an awful lot of decisions. And once I start looking at that data, that information, I go, yeah, you know, you're right. We make a lot of decisions. Well, if you make that many decisions, you know, each day, improving your accuracy in decision making is probably pretty important. Okay. Here's another question for you about making decisions. Some people think that men tend to make decisions based on logic and not emotions. What do you think? Okay. Well, here's another one of those things. Research tells us that men make decisions pretty much like women make decisions. And that is, both men and women make decisions based on emotions. In other words, about 80% of the decisions that we make are based on emotions, while only about 20% is based on, well, based on logic. Isn't that something? 20% based on logic, 80% based on emotion. So when I ask the question, you know, if you want to improve your decision making, you know, look into emotional intelligence. Now we're beginning to get the attention of people at the corporate levels a lot of time, because they're thinking, for the most part, that they're constantly making decisions based on logic, when research tells us only 20% are based on logic and the other 80% is based on emotions. Okay. Here's an example, maybe not a business example, but an example nonetheless. And oh, by the way, if you're listening to the show and you have a different point of view on what I'm sharing, please give us a call, 929-477-1423. I'll be happy to share with you my thoughts on that. So again, this is open mic. You are free to call in and share your thoughts, 929-477-1423. So I was talking about making decision, buying decision in particular. Okay, let's say that you're going to buy a vehicle. Most of the time, people will say, you know, I'm going to buy a new car, but, you know, some of the things that's going to be really important in that decision of what car I get, it's going to be dependability. I got to depend on it. It's not one of those things that break down all the time. The cost, got to be within my price range and not one penny more. Quality, pretty much the same as dependability, but quality, you know, some people look at vehicles and they say, this manufacturer makes really high quality vehicles, and this manufacturer, they probably make a lot of junk. So I'm going to go with something that's going to have really high quality and reliability. Maybe even have a good service or maintenance plan. Practicality. One that has really great mileage that gives me, you know, 32 miles to a gallon or whatever. Okay. So armed with all of those facts, armed with all of that data, armed with all of that logic, you would think that when we got to the dealership, you know, we put that in front of the salesperson and say, either this or I'm out of here. But what happens is we start looking around, the salesperson start talking to us, and all of a sudden, things like appearance become important. The name of the vehicle becomes important. The pride in ownership, or the pride in driving one, you know, the status that we get, you know. So the salesperson wants us to take it for a test drive. Because if we take it for a test drive and we come back, he's going or she's going to ask us, how did it feel? How did it drive? You know, how did it take the turns? How did it take the bumps? How did it take? In other words, they're getting you to get in touch with your feelings about the vehicle. And before you know it, you buy the vehicle. Not that you were going to buy when you made that long list of things that it had to have and things, the criteria that it had to meet. You buy it based on those emotional things, you know, how it felt, how you looked in it, you know, how comfortable was it, you know, yeah. So again, just buying decisions, 20% of it, 20% of the time, it may be based on logic, but 80% of the time, it's based on emotions, okay? Something that you probably didn't know, and I'm just going to share this with you just a little bit, just a little tidbit. Four ways that emotions can impact our decisions negatively. In other words, emotions, and I'm not saying that emotions are good or bad. I'm just talking about emotions in the decision-making process. Here are four ways that emotions can impact our decisions negatively, okay? And so you have to be careful that you don't walk into these traps. Number one, excitement. Excitement can cause you to overestimate your chances of success, okay? So let's say that you're looking at something, you're considering something, and you're extremely excited about it, you know, like the lotto. For instance, or you go to Vegas and you hear those bells and whistles going off in the casinos. We tend to get extremely excited and we think our odds are going to be, or our chances of winning is going to be greater than what they are. Now, Las Vegas or Lotto or any of that, they've already told us what the odds are. You know, whether it's 100,000 to 1 or 10 million to 1, whatever the odds are. But the more excited we become, the more willing we are to overestimate our chances of winning. The odds are not going to change based on our excitement, but because we are more excited, we are more likely than not to make a bet or to buy something or to do something. So you have to be really careful about being excited and making a decision. Okay. Here's another one. Number two, anxiety. Anxiety in one area of your life spills over into other areas. So let's say that you're highly anxious about something in one aspect of whatever your life is, whatever you're doing. And because you're really, really anxious or your anxiety is really high around doing that, you may have a tendency to overspend, overindulge, or take greater chances or whatever in some other aspect of your life because your anxiety is high in this area. So it's a case of one impacting something else. So when you're really anxious about something, you have to be careful because you can really be either taken advantage of, or you as an individual just can overextend, okay? Here's a third one. Feeling of sadness can cause you to settle. Feelings of sadness can cause you to settle. In other words, if you're feeling really sad about something, what do you want? You want to get the heck out of that mood, or you want that feeling to go away as quickly and as fast as it can. Because who likes feeling sad? No one. So if you're feeling sad, you may have a tendency to do something just to get out of feeling sad. And that's sort of like settling. In other words, you know, you're feeling sad about something, so you go get this half a gallon of ice cream. It makes you feel better. Or you eat this candy bar, and you know it's not good for you. But because you're sad and you ate this candy bar, you feel much, much better because of the sugar content or whatever. Or you're feeling sad, so you go to the bar and you have a couple of extra beers or you get a drink of something because it kind of gets you out of that mood of feeling bad. So you settle for something else. Okay. And how many times have you heard when a person is in one relationship and they get out of one relationship and they get right into another, and that relationship that they just got into, after they've been in for a short period of time, they realize that, I made a mistake because I was vulnerable. I was vulnerable. I was not ready to get into another relationship, but because of how I was feeling, I quickly got into another relationship. Okay. And the last of the four here is anger. Anger and embarrassment can lead to taking a long shot. Anger and embarrassment can lead to taking a long shot. And what we mean there is, if you're angry about something, it's just like a feeling of sadness almost. That is, you want to get over it. You want to get out of that feeling. And so often you may be angry, but you say, oh, the heck with it. And you'll risk it all, in other words, because it's like you're throwing caution to the wind. You want a quick fix. So be careful because your emotions can impact your decisions from a negative perspective. Okay. And lastly, just want to talk a little bit, you know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes on what you can do or what you need to do to make better decisions. And that is, you need to balance your emotions and logic. Balance your emotions and logic. Now, again, like I said before about some things, it's much easier said than done. Much easier said than done. Research tells us that we have 3 minds. We have a rational mind or a logical mind, and we have an emotional mind, and we have something called a wise mind. Now, the rational or logic mind is usually, you know, we usually rely on statistics or data or numbers or the research or whatever. A person uses their rational mind when they approach a situation intellectually. They plan to make decisions based off of facts. We hear that a lot, don't you? The old Dragnet show where Sergeant Friday would often say, "Give me the facts, ma'am, just the facts." Okay? So in that case, we're saying, you know, I don't want to hear how you felt about anything. I just want to know what are the facts. Okay? So that's one way. The emotional mind, on the other hand, takes into account our feelings, you know, takes into account maybe our anxieties, our anger, our sadness, our fears, our stress, and any number of other emotions that we can have, you know. And based on those emotions, we can make a quick decision. I'm feeling sad, so let me do A. Or I'm feeling fearful, let me do B. Okay? So it's often a quick decision made on an emotion that we're experiencing. That's to deal with that emotion. Okay? Well, what is being suggested is that we need to look at both sides of that coin and have a systematic way of looking at and using the information. In other words, you say to yourself, I feel this, and I know this, and I'm going to run it through my wise mind, and based on that, I will do this. Because I've weighed the pros and the cons. I've looked at both sides of the coin, you know, and I see that after I've considered all of these things, this is the action that I'm going to take. Now, you're not going to be 100% correct all of the time, but what we're saying is the chances of you making a better decision is going to be much higher than you just relying on logic alone or you just relying on emotions alone. What you've done is you've looked at both sides of the coin. So the emotional mind is used when feelings control a person's thoughts and behaviors. They might act impulsively with little regard for the consequences. Now, if you use the wise mind refers to a balance between the reasonable and emotional halves of the mind. They're able to recognize and respect their feelings while responding to them in a rational manner. In other words, you've looked at both sides of the coin. Now, if you had time or we had time during the show, I would pause and give you an opportunity perhaps to kind of do one of these. Okay. Because I'm sure there's been a time when you made an emotional decision and a time when you made a rational decision. But the fact of the matter is, what we're saying is, take both of those things into consideration, both the rational side and the emotional side. That'll help you to make a better decision. Also, when you're sharing that and talking about that with a company or an organization, you're going to see that they're going to be more willing to consider what you have to offer if you talk about it from that perspective, because they're going to know that they're going to get better decisions overall. Okay. So that's a little bit about that one aspect of why EQ is for everyone. And just to kind of share a little bit more, a couple of other things. In the publication of this book, I thought it would make sense to get, you know, some people to pre-read the book before it got published. And so I went to some folks that are well-respected in the field of emotional intelligence. One of them is Doug Knoll. He's a JD out in California. He's also an author of an award-winning book called De-Escalate, How to Calm an Angry Person in 90 Seconds. And here's what Doug said. This book is a great introduction to emotional intelligence, which is sorely needed in our angry, polarized world. Dr. Hang has made the entire concept of emotional intelligence accessible to anyone in any walk of life. He provides clear examples of the difference between EQ, knowing what emotional intelligence is, and EI, actually practicing emotional intelligence. If you have ever wondered what emotional intelligence is about and why it's critical to success in life, read this book. Catherine Nagel, who you probably have come across some of the information from her on LinkedIn, she's an author also. Here's what Catherine Nagel said. Empowering, enriching, encouraging. And EQ is for everyone. Dr. Hank Clemens concisely explains the source of our true power and how understanding how to use it is the best path to success. Clemens paves the way to improve our EQ exponentially and shows that emotional intelligence is our most trusted, important, and necessary skill to thrive in this world. That's Catherine Nagel. She's the author of Imprinted Wisdom. And lastly, I went to, and you've seen this individual probably on LinkedIn, but he's written several books, especially one called The Other Kind of Smart, and that's Harvey Duchendorf, however you might pronounce it. Here's what he said. Most of what has been written on emotional intelligence has now been focused on leadership. This book gives us sound advice on how everyone can increase EI in and outside of the workplace. It is written in a user-friendly, accessible manner to help increase our effectiveness in all aspects of life. And this is Harvey Duchendorf, who's written the book, The Other Kind of Smart. He also contributes to a couple of other magazine or electronic magazines that you might come across on LinkedIn. And lastly, Dr. Ravi Rao. He has a television series that he's done on YouTube called Hello Babies with Dr. Ravi. I've known Dr. Ravi for a while, and here's what he said. There are a lot of books that answer why, but never address how. Dr. Hank Clemens has written a practical book focusing on 5 strategies for improving emotional intelligence for everyone. He explains persuasively that everyone benefits from greater skills of emotional intelligence. So there you have it, folks. It's a quick view of my book, EQ is for Everyone, but also a little bit our upcoming webinar conference titled Emotional Intelligence Through 3 Lenses, in which we'll have Dr. Lynn Davidson, Dr. Shanae Marsh Beckford, and Matt Perlstein talking about emotional intelligence from 3 different lenses. Now, in order to register for that, you got to go online to societyofei.org and go to the conference page, and that's how you can register. And I hope to see everyone get registered. I'd like to see you show up on October 19th for our 3 webinars, for the 3 webinar conference, October 19th. And the best way to get there, go to the website, societyofei.org, and you can register. And as I mentioned, it's only $79. So get on, register today. I look forward to seeing you back here next week for another episode of the Dr. Hank Show. So thanks, everyone. Have an EI day.